is Christian Questions.
Johannes Gaetner once said, "To speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant. To enact gratitude is generous and noble. But to live gratitude is to touch heaven." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose, with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're glad that you have chosen to spend time with us on this fine Sunday morning. And Jonathan, what is our topic today?
Well, Rick, our question is, how do you live with gratitude? And our theme text comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
So when it says in everything give thanks, I guess that kind of is supposed to mean everything?
That's what the scripture says.
Do I really have to be thankful for everything?
We'll find out.
And Jonathan, last week we talked about hope and its critical role in living a life of value. Hope seems to be the forgotten middle brother of faith and love, and I always remember your illustration of the Oreo cookie.
Yes.
It's the cream in the middle, all right? In the same way, this past Thursday, we celebrated the forgotten middle brother of holidays.
That's right.
Thanksgiving. How do you compete with the costumes and candy of Halloween just a few weeks before and the gifts and the glitter of Christmas a month later? You're stuck in the middle.
You are.
So, what about the art of Thanksgiving? How can we master that attitude of gratitude and live a transformed life? And really, Jonathan, that's one of the things about Thanksgiving I think that's so important is it's transformational.
Good point.
And it's actually scientifically proven to be transformational. The attitude, if you live with gratitude, it actually changes the way you look at your life.
Good point.
So, with all of those good points, folks, we're talking about Thanksgiving. We're going to talk a little bit about the actual holiday, the national holiday, Thanksgiving, in a little bit. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving in principle. We're going to talk about it from a scriptural standpoint. But we'd love to hear your thoughts and your experiences in terms of Thanksgiving. What is it that you have to be thankful for? What do you think in terms of your life and have such gratitude for? Please let us know. We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255. That's toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on our Facebook and our always updated blog.
So, ChristianQuestions.net for that. Now, Jonathan, let's get started by going to a soundbite. And this is, to me, this is sort of the basics of Thanksgiving, if you will.
I like this.
We'll tell you where it comes from after you hear it. But this is just giving you the sense of just Thanksgiving, let's say from a childlike perspective.
I thank God for this day, for the sun in the sky, for my mom and my dad, for my piece of apple pie, for our home on the ground, for his love that's all around. That's why I say thanks every day, because a thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have, that's a neighbor way to start, for the love he listens to my prayers. That's why I say thanks every day.
That was an asparagus singing about giving thanks to God.
An asparagus?
VeggieTales, my friend. VeggieTales.
That's right.
And see, to me, that sets the tone for Thanksgiving, because if we focus on Thanksgiving from a childlike perspective, our whole outlook changes with all of the adult kinds of problems and issues that we end up having.
A thankful heart is a happy heart.
That's
Rick.
Right. And that's what that little kid was singing about.
Yes.
And just, it gives you, for me, I listen to something like that and it just makes me smile.
Yes.
And when you smile, folks, listen, when you smile, it's easier to be thankful.
Amen.
So one of the hints toward living with gratitude is figure out how to smile, and there it's just a short step from smile to Thanksgiving.
And it's contagious.
It certainly is. So, Jonathan, let's get started with some scriptures here. Psalm 107, 21 and 22. And folks, don't forget, if you've got some thankfulness stories, some gratitude you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Okay, Psalm 107.
Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing.
So this is interesting. Oh, that men would just praise the Lord for his goodness. What's wrong with us? Why don't we just get on the program here? Get with the program. And it's interesting. In that verse, it says, "It's let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving."
Yeah, what's that?
Well, that's a good question. What are the sacrifices of thanksgiving? And there actually were sacrifices of thanksgiving in the Old Testament.
Okay.
In Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 to 14, we're not going to go into that now, but folks, we do have some research for you on that, and it's pretty fascinating how it all worked and what it's attached to. Not going to tell you about it now, but where can you find it?
CQ Rewind on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
You sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition, and in the bonus material at the end, we've got, that's one of the pieces at the end that we just don't have time to talk about. It talks about how the sacrifices of Thanksgiving, literally the sacrifices of Thanksgiving, actually worked in the Old Testament.
And it's a free service, right?
It is absolutely free, and there is no obligation. CQ Rewind, sign up for the full edition at ChristianQuestions.net. All right, let's go on to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 17, and sort of look at the sacrifices of thanksgiving from a New Testament kind of a perspective.
Through him, then, let us continually offer up sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that gives thanks to his name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you.
Jonathan, there's a lot in those verses. First of all, it talks about offering up the sacrifice of praise to God, and that really builds on this concept of the sacrifice of thanksgiving.
And that's one of our goals in our program, isn't it, Rick?
It is, to have that sense of putting the honor and respect and praise where it belongs.
Exactly.
And that's why we approach the program the way we do, and that's why it's just Jonathan and Rick talking about things that are bigger than us.
Yes.
And you know, it's interesting, because I had an experience at the gym. I go to the gym a few times a week, and there was a guy there, and I was talking to him and mentioned, you know, about the radio program, and he was asking me about it. He was very fascinated by the whole thing, and I said something to him, and I said, well, you know, when you become dedicated to something that's much, much bigger than you, it just changes the way you look at life. And he literally stopped in his tracks, and he kept repeating that, dedicated to something bigger than you. He said, wow, that's big. He just kept repeating it and repeating it, and that's the idea. The idea is to be dedicated to the glory of God, which is so much bigger than us, we can't even fathom it.
Yes.
And just try to draw attention to that.
Yes, push people's minds to how good he is.
Our sacrifice of thanksgiving, if you will. That's part of what we're about here.
Another part of the scripture, Rick, was don't neglect doing good and sharing.
And that's such an important part of living our lives is, okay, when a lot of times when we think about being thankful, you think about things that you get.
Right.
And, oh, I'm thankful for, you know, you buy me a cup of decaf coffee every Sunday morning. You do.
That's because you're naturally caffeinated and don't touch caffeine.
That's right. Right. That's right. Except in chocolate.
Okay.
That's the exception to the rule. But, you know, and I'm thankful for that. And a lot of times we think about, okay, being thankful for the things that we get. But when you're saying don't neglect the giving and the spreading things out, that's a source of great thankfulness.
Yes, it is.
Because it's thankfulness for opportunity. And we're building this program, obviously, on the coattails of Thanksgiving Day,
yep,
which was this past Thursday. And, I mean, that's a day that we all spend time with our friends.
And family.
And family. That's what you did, I presume.
Yes, and you too.
Yep. And we, and you have a great meal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just one of the things that we are naturally thankful for, hopefully anyway, or can be naturally thankful for, I should say, is family.
Yes.
And the interchange that we can have with our family. Jonathan, I got a little bit of Thanksgiving Day trivia.
Okay.
Okay. Which 20th century president's Thanksgiving proclamation began with a quote from Psalm 92:1, "It is good to give thanks unto the Lord"?
All right, trivia question.
That's right. Which 20th century president's Thanksgiving proclamation began with that quote? We're not going to tell you the answer now. And I was a little surprised when I saw it. Also, we have that entire proclamation in Seek Your Rewind, the full edition.
That's right.
At the end. So just kind of keep that in mind. We're looking at Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving Day is an American holiday. There's no getting away from it.
Right.
It is completely American, and the question is why. We're going to get to answering that question very, very shortly. Let's go to another soundbite. This is from a film by Louis Schwartzberg called Gratitude, and it touches on some of the most basic, simple, straightforward senses of gratitude, and just to me, it's one of those things that makes you pause and consider.
He has a way to really make you think, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and the guy's accent really sort of draws you in. Let's listen.
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now. And the only appropriate response is gratefulness.
It's just so poignant how that's the truth of the matter. Today is a gift, and you've heard the saying, today is a gift, that's why they call it the present.
Yes.
And there's such great, great, deep truth in that.
And he made me think, life is precious, is what that sounded to me.
And if we can just stop long enough, breathe long enough to just appreciate the preciousness of life around us. And again, folks, that's why we'd love to hear from you and your experiences with gratefulness, gratitude, and Thanksgiving. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.net, no matter the day or time.
Jonathan, this next scripture is, you said before we got started this morning that we could do a whole program on this.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just going to quote it and touch on a few little things in about 2 minutes here, but let's get started. Psalm 116, 12 to 19.
What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?
See, now that's like the big question. Well, what am I supposed to do?
Exactly.
You've been benefited so much. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to let you finish. Go ahead.
I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people.
See, now that's interesting because it says, well, what do I do? And then it says, it sort of gives the answer. Well, I'll pay my vows. I'll give him what I promised.
Mm-hmm.
And so
exactly.
That's part of what we render to the Lord for his benefits toward us.
It's like pay the dedication that you've given.
Right, right.
Continuing, perceive in the sight of the
Lord. Precious.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds.
And again, it shows his gratitude. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I'm freer because I'm focusing on praising and honoring and thanking you. And let's just finish up that scripture as we wrap up this segment.
I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord.
See, Jonathan, we owe God. We ought to be willing to live our thankfulness outwardly and consistently, day by day by day by day.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live with gratitude? Coming up, what theme did the first Thanksgiving proclamation have from Congress? Was it a turkey? Was God even mentioned? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live with gratitude? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now in our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, as we continue our conversation on giving thanks and gratitude and having that attitude, that it is a transformational attitude. When you live thankfully, everything in life changes.
Absolutely.
And if you remember last week, we listened to some sound bites from Viktor Frankl, and he had been a prisoner in a concentration camp, or several concentration camps, during World War II, and just he really shed some light on having hope. And gratitude and hope are very, very closely connected, as we will see as we go through the program. Jonathan, before we get into some American history on the holiday of Thanksgiving, I just want to listen to one short verse of a song that is simple. You can memorize the lyrics in about 30 seconds. And it, to me, it just puts things in the kind of like the VeggieTales song from the first segment. It puts things in perspective. It's called I Am So Blessed by Karen Drucker.
I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed.
See how easy?
That is simple.
If you continually repeat those words, something changes inside your head. It really does, because obviously you have to mean them. But by putting those words into your head, you'll look at life entirely differently.
And we're going to hear more verses of that hymn, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And like I said, the words are pretty easy to memorize. So let's get to American history. Jonathan, even before George Washington's proclamation for a day of giving thanks, there was this. The very first Thanksgiving proclamation that was made by the Continental Congress, November 1st, 1777. So the year after the Declaration of Independence, the Continental Congress gets together. We're going to read part of the first paragraph and part of the last paragraph.
For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, and to implore such further blessings as they stand in need of, and it having pleased Him in His abundant mercy, not only to continue to us the innumerable bounties of His common providence, but also to smile upon us in the prosecution of just and necessary war for the defense and establishment of our unalienable rights and liberties, particularly in that He hath been pleased in so great a measure to prosper the means used for the support of our troops and to crown our arms with most signal success.
So that's the beginning and almost the entire thing. At the end of the last seven, you're saying, was God even mentioned in this first Continental Congress proclamation?
Is it about dinner?
And when you think about it, the whole thing is focused over and over and over and over again, not on thanking one another, not on thanking the Native Americans, but on thanking God.
Yes.
I mean, the first words, for as much is the indispensable duty of men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God. So it's not just to be cognizant of the providence of Almighty God.
No.
It's not just to recognize that the providence of God sometimes touches our lives. It's to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God. That's what Thanksgiving Day was set in place for. That's the whole reason. Matter of fact, finish it up. Last paragraph.
It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December, next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, and that together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confessions of their manifold sins, whereby they have fortified every favor and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance.
So the original Continental Congress, the admonition to America, to the nation of America. Now, think about this. These are the people that put a government in place that specifically separated church and state.
That's right.
Okay, and here's what they're saying. On this next Thursday, it should be a day of solemn thanksgiving and praise to God, that we, with one voice and as one people, would honor and praise God for all of the things he's done for us and ask forgiveness for our multiple sins.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, and I don't mean to get political, but just this quick moment. The point is, the separation of church and state didn't mean that you stopped acknowledging God in the context of government.
That's right.
It meant that you acknowledged God in the context of government, but kept the churches out of the business of government.
Right.
Big difference. That's how they defined the separation of church and state. Look it up. That's the history. And Jonathan, it's inspiring to me to see that this country had a national holiday in place to honor and praise and thank God.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live with gratitude? If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, that proclamation ends with, it says, it's further recommended that servile labor and such recreation, as though at other times innocent, may be unbecoming the purpose of this appointment, be omitted on so solemn an occasion. So translate that into today's world. You shouldn't have football on Thanksgiving. No, really, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
They're saying this is a solemn occasion to be serious-minded.
Focus.
Right. To be focused on giving honor and praise to God. What a difference in what we live now.
Yes.
To what it was originally intended to be. And look, when we look at the world now, do you say, okay, everybody, stop being happy?
No.
The point is looking at history and saying this is what it was meant to be. Let's not lose what it was meant to be and what it was meant to do. And Jonathan, just want to mention, we'll have this proclamation amongst others in Seek to Rewind the full edition, which is available at ChristianQuestions.net. You can only get it at ChristianQuestions.net. To get all of these things in their entirety, you sign up for the full edition. Like you said in the last segment, it's a free service.
Sent to you by email.
There, and it's just a PDF link. There is no obligation. You can unsubscribe at any time. But it just fills in the gaps.
That's right.
It helps you to see the bigger picture. It comes out every week. We got a whole team of people that work on that. They do a marvelous
sure do.
Job. And we're really thankful for their efforts. So, folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about Thanksgiving and what it means to us, what it means to you, perhaps some experiences, some of the things that you have gratitude in your life for. We're at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Let's go back to that film by Louis Schatzberg. Pronouncing his name wrong. I apologize, sir. Called Gratitude. And again, just listen to this simple, straightforward, eye-opening approach to gratitude.
If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well.
What a profound thought. If you look at this day as though it were the first day in your life and or the last day in your life, well, then you will have spent the day well, because you will be conscious of the gift of the day. What a great thought, great idea.
Great attitude.
It is. And it really helps it to put things in perspective. Jonathan, let's go to Psalm 86, verses 1 through 12, because Thanksgiving begins with our acknowledgement of God and his greatness and our own insignificance. That's what nationally, that's what it was designed as a holiday to do. And Psalm 86, 1 to 12, we're going to break it into pieces, puts that in place as well.
Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all day long. Make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
So the psalmist is giving us a sense of how small he is and how great God is, and how those two things can come together by the petition of prayer and by putting things in their right perspective.
Absolutely.
Again, folks, if you have a thought on gratitude, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues next hour online and all through the week. Christian Questions is live Sunday mornings and on demand with tons of topics to talk, featured in our audio archive, CQ Rewind, Facebook, and our blog, only at ChristianQuestions.net.
Jonathan, even before the November 1st, 1777 Continental Congress proclamation, long before, there was another proclamation that most of us don't even think about. It was in 1623, 3 years after the Pilgrims landed, and this was a proclamation by William Bradford, the governor of the colonies. And listen, simple couple of paragraphs. This is, I mean, this is brand new. They just landed. They were only here for 3 years. Here's what he says.
Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squash, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, he spared us from the pestilence and disease, and has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim to you that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and your little ones, you do at ye meetings houses on ye hill bring the hours of 9 and 12 and daytime on Thursday, November 29th, the year of the Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings.
And so the idea of a day of thanksgiving was certainly not the Continental Congress's idea, but it was established at the very, very beginning when the pilgrims came over.
Yes.
Very fascinating that, again, and it was all about thanking God.
God, yes.
That's what it was all about. And folks, look, that's the history of Thanksgiving. So let's not try to rewrite history to make it a little bit more comfortable and a little bit maybe more politically correct. But let's look at history for what it was and ask ourselves the question, how are we taking that history and drawing the goodness from it and living lives of thankfulness to God? Folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. Again, live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. We'd like to hear your thoughts on gratitude and what role gratitude plays in your life. Jonathan, I want to touch a few lines on President Barack Obama's 2012 Thanksgiving proclamation. Every president since Abraham Lincoln has made a proclamation about Thanksgiving Day. It's been unbroken since Abraham Lincoln. The full text of this particular proclamation is in our CQ Rewind bonus material.
All right, go for it.
Available only on ChristianQuestions.net. We're just, in the interest of time, just going to read a few lines. And I will tell you that I was fairly impressed with the kind of focus that the president had this year in this particular proclamation. I'll start, and then you will sort of alternate, just some selected lines. This day is a time to take stock of the fortune we have known and the kindnesses we have shared, grateful for the God-given bounty that enriches our lives.
When President George Washington marked our democracy's first Thanksgiving, he prayed to our Creator for peace, union, and plenty through the trials that would surely come. And when our nation was torn by bitterness and civil war, President Abraham Lincoln reminded us that we were at heart one nation, sharing a bond as Americans that could bend but would not break.
And then continuing, on Thanksgiving Day, individuals from all walks of life come together to celebrate this most American tradition. Grateful for the blessings of family, community, and country, let us spend this day by lifting up those we love, mindful of the grace bestowed on us by God and by all who have made our lives richer with their presence. So again, it gives you a sense of, it's a little bit of a different focus, but all of the focuses recently are different.
Yes.
But at least it acknowledges God in heaven several times throughout this proclamation.
good thing.
And we are thankful for that.
Absolutely.
Because that's maintaining some of what the original intent was. Jonathan, we're really shy on time here. Psalm 86, just read verses 5 through 8 quickly, then we'll wrap up the segment.
For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours.
See, now our nation started out with having this attitude, but what's happened since? Do we put God first all the time?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live with gratitude? We talked about hope last week on our program, so the $1,000 question is, what's the connection between hope and gratitude? Do you know? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, and our subject this morning, how do you live with gratitude? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, again, I want to ask that question that we asked in the first segment. Does anybody know which 20th century president began their Thanksgiving proclamation with a quote from Psalm 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord? Quoted a scripture in a Thanksgiving Day proclamation, a 20th century president, no less. Which one? Ha ha ha. Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's
move on.
Move on. Yeah, aren't you thankful that I stopped?
Very grateful.
Yeah, yes, you are. I can see that. I can see it written in your eyes. Like, whew, boy. Okay, let's go back to that film by Louis Schwarzberg on gratitude. And again, it's capturing the moments of your life. And Jonathan, we're going to, especially in the second hour, we're going to really focus on that, capturing the moments, being able to stop and just observe what's around you.
And how precious life is.
Yeah, listen to this.
Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going.
It just makes you stop.
The little things are so precious.
They are. And, you know, my wife Trish always tells me that she looks at nature, and she's always marveling at the colors. And, you know, the way you said it here, those colors are there just for our pure enjoyment. And she always says, you know, look, if I was the creator, everything would have been sort of like brown.
Well, even the colorblind can see differences in colors,
yeah.
Like myself.
Oh, okay.
Because I do tend to have that problem, but it's still beautiful to me. I can't wait to see it without my weakness.
And you know, the idea that it's there, God created this for your pure enjoyment. So let's stop and appreciate it. And Jonathan, before we get back to Psalm 86, those verses, just a quick little story, a little personal story of gratitude. And like you said, be thankful for the little things.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes you have things in your life that just simply make you smile. We had Dominic, our grandson, with us Friday night and Saturday morning. And, I mean, that's always a cause for great thankfulness. But just one little thing happened on Saturday morning. You know, we get up and we're sitting down for breakfast, and Trish is serving us breakfast. And every morning at home, he has his little vitamins, you know, and we don't have any children's vitamins at our house. So he remarked how, you know, well, I don't have my vitamins this morning. And Trish had some vitamins of her own that, you know, she was taking. And he said, well, you know, those, could I have those vitamins? And she said, well, no, those are vitamins for adults. And he said, you know, because he just turned 5,
okay.
You know, this past November 7th.
Nice.
And so he says, Nana, I'm almost an adult. I can have those vitamins. You know, at five, and that's his perception. And you know, you think about that, and it just makes you smile. And sometimes, again, remember we said earlier, a smile is the gateway to Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You find something that makes you smile, and living with gratitude is not a long walk from there.
You're right.
So it's just a matter of putting yourself in the right place. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Go to ChristianQuestions.net.
So, Jonathan, back to Psalm 86, verses 1 through 12. Now, thanksgiving to God began with our acknowledgement of God's greatness and our insignificance. That's how the psalm started.
Yep.
It continued in faith and praise. And now, thanksgiving marvels at the magnitude of his plan for all, as well as his attention to the one lonely soul. Let's listen. Psalm 86, 9 through 12.
All nations whom you have made shall come and worship thee, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God.
And see, that's a little bit of a prophetic statement. All nations shall come and worship before
that
you.
That hasn't come to pass yet.
That's right. So we can something that we can look forward to. So it's looking at the big picture in terms of earth, and
yes.
Then it continues.
Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to revere your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever.
An interesting phrase that jumped out at me in this particular translation, it says, unite my heart to fear your name. And so what it's saying is, you know, my heart, it goes in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
The prayers unite my heart so I can have respect for your name, so I can be solidified in what's most important.
Yes, and we know the word fear is really translated reverence.
Right, 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 exactly. So here we see this unmistakable link between hope and gratitude. And again, we talked about hope last week.
Yes.
And there was no accident. We
no.
talked about hope before we talk about gratitude. So just a couple of points on that.
Hope is the expectation of future events.
Okay, and hope is built on faith.
And gratitude is embracing of past, present, and future events and lessons.
Okay, and gratitude is also built on faith.
The greater your faith, the greater your hope and gratitude.
So faith is sort of the beginning point for both hope and gratitude. So that's how we need to focus ourselves on living lives of gratitude. Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right, we have Esther from Indiana. Good morning, Esther, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. It's been a long time, and I really appreciate your program and, of course, the subject of thankfulness. I just wanted to say that whenever we get together to talk about the word of the Lord and gather with those of like precious faith, I just am so thankful for that privilege, because not everybody has it. And, of course, when we were together with family at this particular time, that's another time to be thankful. But, you know, the truth of God's word is so beautiful, and we're really grateful for that.
Esther, that's an awful lot to be thankful for.
Well, thank you for calling and sharing.
All righty. God bless.
Take
care. Bye-bye. Jonathan, just when you hear a comment like that, you could hear it sort of kind of flowing out of her that this was something that was really, really important to
mm-hmm.
her. And really, true gratitude can do that. It changes the way you look at things. And what she's saying is she's looking at that basic idea of being together, being able to get together with those who believe in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And to share that fellowship. And she said, you know, how grateful and thankful she is for that opportunity and for the truth of the Word of God. And folks, those are some of the big things in life that we may easily take them for granted.
You're right.
But we ought not to, because it changes the way you live. That means it changes the way you walk. It changes the way you talk. It changes the things that you think about when you live a life of gratitude. The question is, what are you going to be grateful for? We can be grateful for the little things, and that's great. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're grateful for the big things, the godly things in life, those are the life changers. They really, really, really are. Jonathan, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 25.
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil.
See, now, that's the context of our theme scripture. And what that script, that context does, it puts the concept of thanksgiving, because it says in everything give thanks, in perspective with the other most important things. So being thankful is one of the most important things, according to the scripture.
Good point.
It goes along with rejoicing and praying and quenching not the spirit and holding on to prophesyings and proving all things and abstaining from all appearances of evil. Those are all the other most important things that gratitude belongs alongside of.
Yes.
And again, our gratitude can grow and change us when it's in the right place, in the right context. So, Jonathan, it doesn't just happen like automatically. Like
no,
you wake up in the morning and say, okay, you know what? I'm about to change my life today, and I'm going to be thankful, and everything will be good.
It doesn't happen that way.
It doesn't happen that way, and I'm glad it doesn't happen that way, because when we put the effort into finding gratitude, and folks, we've got there's a scriptural process in finding gratitude that's laid out for us. It'll be in the second hour. And so, look, if we're not on in your area, go to christianquestions.net, click on the Listen Live button, follow the prompts, and you'll go to our online streaming, and you can stay with us for that second hour conversation. It really opens this up. It makes it really simple.
I have a very special story to share at the beginning of the next hour from a good friend that called me last night.
It's not a special story, Jonathan. It's a dramatic story of what thankfulness and gratitude can do for you.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely dramatic, so you don't want to miss that. ChristianQuestions.net, click Listen Live, and you can stay with us if we're not on in your area for that next hour. So as we strive for these things, we can reap the priceless benefit of faith and sanctification, being set apart for God's purpose. And again, this is from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 25.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us.
It just gives you a sense of putting things in order for real, true thanksgiving. Let's go back to that song from Karen Drucker. And this is the chorus. These words are really simple, so you can memorize the words. But just let yourself get lost for a few seconds, just in the message and the melody of thankfulness.
I am so glad.
I am so glad.
I am so glad.
I am so glad.
I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed,
I am so blessed,
I am so blessed, I am so grateful,
I am so blessed,
I am so blessed,
I am so blessed,
I am so blessed,
I am so grateful
for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so grateful,
I am so blessed.
It gives us a real sense of the value of just repeating to ourselves how important it is to be recognizing the goodness in our lives. And I just love to listen to that and just close my eyes and just say that to myself. You know what? I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. And incidentally, those are all the words for the song right there.
They're amazing.
And it's the simplicity that brings the message home. Let's go to Psalm 50. We won't read the whole thing, but 50 verses 7 through 14.
Hear, O my people, I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me.
And he continues to say, look, if it was burnt offerings that I were after, I'd let you know. If I was hungry, I could let you know.
But I don't eat your burnt offerings.
Right. He's saying, I'm looking for your heart. That's what God looks for. And it's by design that God wants us to put our hearts in place of being truly, truly thankful. Jonathan, to me, true gratitude is a heartfelt expression that is specific in detailing the object of one's gratitude to give the giver of that object or to others to stimulate their gratitude. And again, we're going to go over that statement again.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, because it's got a lot of pieces to it, but it helps to put things in perspective in terms of what true gratitude is. Now, who was that president, that 20th century president, that started their proclamation with a quote from the Psalm?
President John Kennedy.
1961 Thanksgiving Proclamation. He starts by quoting the scriptures. Think about that. Folks, look, we're talking about Thanksgiving not only from a historical standpoint for the American holiday, but how gratitude, when put into your life, will change the way you live. It will change what you do and how you think, because gratitude is a powerful mover. God designed us that way. In the second hour, we got some great stories coming up, much more to come on how to make gratitude a permanent fixture in your daily life. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. Join us on Facebook. Leave your comments there. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back after the news and all that. But till then, how do you live with gratitude?
Is Christian Questions.
Thornton Wilder once said, "We can only be said to be alive in those moments when our hearts are conscious of our treasures." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that subject today? It's probably no surprise that we're talking about this subject on this day.
You're right, Rick. Our question is, how do you live with gratitude? And our theme text is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
So the idea is talking about gratitude and Thanksgiving. Hey, this is the Sunday after the national holiday, Thanksgiving, and that's a day when almost everybody, not everybody, but most everybody gets the day off,
mm-hmm.
and most of us get together with family and or friends.
Yes.
And have a meal together. And
watch football.
A lot of people watch football. But the whole idea of the national holiday originally was to set aside a day, a solemn day of thanksgiving to God.
For God's providential overrulings on our behalf.
And not only did the original proclamations say that we should be thankful, but it said we should adore his providential overrulings. So it's a startling statement of what the national holiday was set aside to do. And when we look at what it has become, it's a pretty big dramatic difference.
Oh, it is.
So, folks, we're looking at Thanksgiving not only from the national holiday standpoint, but also from the standpoint of what does it mean to live with gratitude and how can gratitude actually change your life? And it is a proven fact that living with gratitude changes the way you live.
You're right.
So we'd love to hear your thoughts on gratitude, 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Jonathan, I want to reread a quote sort of a compilation statement that I made at the end of the last segment. And just because I want to get it into your heads a little bit. True gratitude is a heartfelt expression that is specific in detailing the object of one's gratitude to the giver of that object or to others to stimulate their gratitude. So true heartfelt gratitude is specific. It is directed. In other words, it's specific. What am I grateful for? It's directed to God, for instance,
mm-hmm.
or to others. If I'm grateful and I tell you something that I'm grateful for to God, my telling you stimulates your ability to be grateful as well.
It becomes contagious.
And that's exactly the point of real, true,
nice.
Heartfelt gratitude. So again, folks, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Let's go back to that film from Louis Schwarzberg. It just gives you, it makes you stop and think about what gratitude means in the simplest, smallest, little things in life.
Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. A story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here like a life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink.
Doesn't it give you just a whole different sense of people?
It sure does.
When you think of it that way, you know, you look at people, look at the faces of the people you meet, and realize behind every face is a dramatic story of not only their life, but it's the culmination of their ancestry.
It's amazing.
And we just need to stop enough to be able to perceive such things.
And appreciate it.
Right.
And ask and talk and meet.
And the other thing is you don't jump to conclusions if you have that approach of gratitude.
Good point.
Because when you know, somebody may be having a really bad day for reasons that you have no idea about.
You're right.
And so, it, like you said, if you stop and ask and talk, you can get through all of that outer shell that may be all crusted over with anger and rage and frustration,
mm-hmm.
Or loss and grief.
Yes.
And get through to what's really driving that individual. And that's an amazing thing. And again, it's all written in people's faces.
And it's a gift.
It truly is. Jonathan, let's go to the phones, and then I want to go to your story that you had to tell.
All right. Well, we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, how do you live with gratitude? Well, here is one way I'll try to define how I live with gratitude. Am I grateful? Do I have a grateful heart? If I am peaceful, if I am giving, loving, and gentle, that would define gratitude for me, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
To be loving and gentle and peaceful. I like this scripture in Psalms 110, I think it is. It says that prophetically our Lord Jesus would look up to God. He would lift up his head in gratitude to his Heavenly Father. And there is a little illustration about the sparrow, the bird, the little bird, the sparrow. You ever notice whenever he drinks, he lifts up his head?
Mm-hmm.
He looks up with gratitude. I think that's a very apt illustration. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Appreciate your call, Julius.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's interesting. Julius mentioned four things about character that said, if I'm living this way, it means that I'm living with gratitude. If I'm peaceful, giving, loving, and gentle. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. So those are sort of the symptoms of a life lived in gratitude.
I like that.
You know, so what symptoms do you have? Do you have the gratitude attitude? What are the symptoms? Peacefulness, being giving, being loving, and being gentle. Julius, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Jonathan, you had a story from a friend of yours from long ago.
Yes, I got a phone call last night. In fact, my sister gave my friend my phone number, and he's been trying to reach me for years and didn't know how.
High school friend.
And he called, and it was great touching base for so many years. And, you know, he's had some difficulty, tragedy in his life. His wife died from a rare liver disease, and he took care of her the last year, you know, did whatever it took to support and help his wife. And heartbreaking, of course. And then recently after that, his father had passed, which he looked up to so greatly, loved his dad so much. He felt, you know, he had nothing to live for. His life was empty, and he was alone. And he got to that tragic point of putting a gun to his head.
Oh, man.
And something happened. He said this had never happened before. His dogs came up and started licking his face. He goes, they don't do that. And he stopped. And he said, basically said, you know, the Lord is telling me something here. I'm not going to go through with this. And that moment, he was saved. And he dedicated his life to God, and he loves God, he loves Jesus, and he basically changed his life at that moment. And to me, wow, what an experience.
It's breathtaking, that kind of an experience. And when you realize the simple little act of the instinct of those animals to realize that their master needed to be cared for.
Yes.
And animals somehow have that instinct. Somehow or other, they have that. And for him to be able to recognize that and for it to literally save his life.
No, it was a providential overruling for him.
And cause for gratitude.
Yes.
And that's really what this whole program is about. Thanks for sharing that experience. Very, very dramatic thought of the importance of living a life of gratitude and how in one moment things can look so dark.
Right.
And then one little thing changes your complete outlook and all of a sudden things are not dark anymore.
That's right. And we've all had experiences.
And the important thing is nothing changed in his life.
No.
Except his perception.
Yes.
And that gave him courage to move forward. That's what hope and gratitude do for us.
Absolutely.
Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Don't forget to go to CQ Rewind, the full edition. You want to sign up for the full edition at christianquestions.net. It is a free service. It's available to you. It gives you the text of the program. It gives you scriptures. It gives you graphics and illustrations. Last week's Rewind was really, really well done on hope. Really well done on hope. And you just want to be able to get all of that and use it as a tool for encouragement and for study and to move your life forward in gratitude. Again, ChristianQuestions.net, CQ Rewind, the full edition. Sign up. It's there waiting for you. Jonathan, we will not have time to read through all of these scriptures here, but Daniel 2, 19 to 23 is Daniel. Remember when he was brought before Nebuchadnezzar, and you know Nebuchadnezzar had the dream but wouldn't tell anybody what the dream was?
That's right.
And Daniel was given the interpretation of the dream by God.
Yes.
And Daniel offers a prayer of great thanksgiving to God, and as he reveals the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, he tells the king that, look, I'm here before you because of God, not because of me.
Right.
So he has this attitude of gratitude.
And humility.
Deep, deep humility. I want to go to, before we go to the Nebuchadnezzar part of that, let's go to another soundbite, because we want to put some music into every single segment of this program, because music is a way to find gratitude. This is a song, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. We're just going to do this song verse by verse. Keith Getty and Stuart Townsend, I think, produced this. I don't know who it is who's singing, but the song is My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness.
My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plowed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in his light and wrote his law of righteousness with power upon my heart.
Those are powerful words.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I'm sure Julie is going to put all the words in the CQ Rewind for us, because it
how moving.
Yeah, and you know, the other song was just simple. You know, I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. This is giving you the details of the sacrifice of Christ.
Who bore her pain.
Who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again. And it puts it in perspective. Why should you be thankful? Oh, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
You know, it just puts things in a great, great perspective. Again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And Jonathan, we didn't touch on Daniel 2, 19 to 23. Daniel 4, 34 to 37. Again, we're not going to read it, but it's Nebuchadnezzar learning to be grateful to God. Truly, in a heartfelt sense, there's some circumstances we don't have time for. Want to touch on, just before the end of this segment, Psalm 92, 1 through 4. This is the context of President Kennedy's scripture quote in his Thanksgiving Day proclamation from 1961.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. With the 10-string lute and with harp and resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad for what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands.
So, Jonathan, there's several aspects of gratitude. It can be...
day and night.
All right. All the time.
Yep.
It can be...
creatively expressed through instruments.
Okay. Or...
sung out loud.
Yeah, and you like that part.
Oh, I do.
And the point is, gratitude can come in all kinds of ways at all kinds of times because it is a life-changing experience. Gratitude is not something that you just do. Gratitude is something that you are. Are you living in gratitude?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, how do you live with gratitude? Coming up, a three-step process to centralize Thanksgiving. Rick calls it the three P's. Did you get this from VeggieTales? The three P's? Oh, that's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live with gratitude? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, as we go through this subject, we've looked at it from a national perspective, Thanksgiving and gratitude, Thanksgiving Day, what it was originally there for, how we've sort of watered it down to being just a fun day off. And again, part of me says, oh, you know, what a shame that we're missing the main point. But we're looking at how gratitude can actually change our daily lives.
Yes.
And it can. It can actually change our daily lives. And not only we should we have gratitude toward God for the manifold blessings he's given us, but William James, a quote from William James, he said, "The deepest craving of human nature is the need to be appreciated."
How true that is.
And so by having gratitude toward one another, we are feeding some of the needs of human nature. And again, when you appreciate, it changes your life.
Yes.
But when you are appreciated, it can also change your life.
For sure.
So it is a win-win situation if we push our gratitude not only toward God in heaven, but toward one another.
So your favorite vegetable will help solve this next point.
I don't think I have a favorite vegetable, okay?
So it's not peas.
Not peas. I know you mentioned peas. I'll eat peas. Asparagus, not so much. But I'll eat peas but sort of begrudgingly. My brother used to eat them like pills. But anyway, that's a different story. Yeah, we want to suggest three simple steps. It's a simple process to help centralize Thanksgiving and gratitude in our lives. It's really simple. Each word starts with P. I do this all the time because it helps me remember things.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first step?
Pause.
Okay, just stop a moment. Second step.
Perceive.
Notice God's goodness in all things, small and large. And the third step?
Praise.
Tell God in words and actions your appreciation. So pause, perceive, and praise. And to illustrate this little three-step process, we're going to look at Psalm 147. It's a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. So the first thing you have to do with a psalm like that is stop and read it.
Good.
Okay, so pause. You have to stop. Then this psalm takes us through the application of steps 2 and 3, the perceiving and the praising, over and over again.
They go back and forth?
Right, right. And the perceiving and the praising bounce between smallest little human things to the big heavenly things. So we're going to go through this psalm and sort of break it down and look at how these three steps present themselves. Again, you pause because you're reading the psalm. You're just stopping. You're
focusing.
Right. You're focusing. Folks, if you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you in terms of what role gratitude plays in your life. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And we continue the conversation online. We want to hear from your feedback on today's topic by posting it on our Facebook page, where you can also see exclusive videos, check out our blog, and our website for audio, video, CQ Rewind, and other free resources no one else has on the planet while studying the Bible and talking about today's Christian topics at ChristianQuestions.net.
That's right. That is a resource that is completely unique in relation to this kind of content. You're only going to find these things that we offer at ChristianQuestions.net. Doesn't exist anyplace else. Okay, let's go through Psalm 147. Verse 1 sets the context of praise and thanksgiving.
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful.
I love that last phrase. Praise is beautiful. And if we can get that through our heads, because praise is a way of showing gratitude.
Yes.
That's what praise is. Praise is gratitude personified. So, and it's a beautiful thing, because not only what it's projecting out, but what it's doing for you when you live in such a way. So again, we pause. Now, perceive the comparison. There's a couple of comparisons here in verses 2 and 3.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name.
So now it's interesting, because he starts out in the in the verses talking about Jerusalem and the outcasts and the brokenhearted individuals. It's talking about the little people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at the little people. The little
details.
Right. Binding up the brokenhearted people so that they can heal. And those things are praiseworthy. And then the next comparison goes to, he counts the number of the stars.
And he calls them by name.
So, I mean, these stars are so big and so massive and so spread apart, and God knows each of them, and he calls them by name, and yet he still has time to bind up the brokenhearted of those of us here who are wounded and going through life maybe with grief and sorrow.
I mean, wow.
Right. Good thought. As a matter of fact, verse 5 is the wow.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite.
And you get that sense because he pays attention to the little things as well as the big, grand things that are just so much bigger than we are. And this is why we look to God to give him our gratitude. And when you give God gratitude, you change the way you live. I'm telling you, and it's not me telling you, I'm just repeating it, okay? It is a scientific fact that when you live with gratitude, the power of thankfulness is a mind-changing, life-changing experience.
Amen.
It makes you a different person because you see things through the eyes of light rather than the eyes of darkness. It's an amazing phenomenon. So let's go through this. Let's go now through verse 6. We're pausing by stopping and reading the psalm. The perceiving is looking around and observing, just like with that the movie, that gratitude movie we keep going back to quotes from.
Yes.
We'll have one more in the next segment. But it just gives you a sense of just stop and look. Well, here's the perceiving in Psalm 147. This is verse 6.
The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground.
Again, that's the small human part. And when we say, we keep saying that the human part is so small, because when you look at the size of the earth in relation to the size of the stars,
it's a dot.
It is a dot. And then when you look at the size of the earth in relation to the size of the galaxy, it's not even perceivable. And then you look at the galaxy in the relation to the size of the universe, and you know, you're getting unfathomably enormous, and yet God pays attention to those little things. He lifts up the humble. So there's a perception there that we need to recognize and be thankful for. And then verse 7 is a resulting praise.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God.
So because he recognizes the humble, it gives us a sense, a reason to sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Then it goes back to perceiving the bigger things.
Who covers the heavens with clouds? Who prepares rain for the earth? Who makes grass to grow on the mountains?
Who does that?
God.
Yeah. Can you do that? Can you, by any stretch of your imagination or any stretch of your own desire, make those things happen? Of course you cannot. But God can. And there's a greatness in God. And that's why you sing praise to the Lord with thanksgiving, because he takes care of the little things. He takes care of the big, big things in terms of our world. Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about gratitude as a way of life. We're talking about adopting a sense of gratitude in everything that we do. And in order to do that, we pause. We have to just stop. We have to look around, perceive, and then we praise, react. If you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, let's go back to that song that was produced by Keith Getty and Stuart Townsend, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. This is the second verse. And just try to focus on the words, because, again, that first song that we played in the first hour was a simple concept of just focus on gratitude, focus on gratitude. This song is, here's why you focus on gratitude.
My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes me to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of
beautiful.
Isn't that just, it's breathtaking. To Him who walks beside, my heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who walks beside, who floods my weakness with strength and causes fear to fly. And it just gives you a sense that we can walk through the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil.
Right. So you have the ominous darkness, the valley of the shadow of death, and yet I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And that gives you and that's something to just put that gratitude in place and hold on to for the rest of your life. And that's the great thing about gratitude, Jonathan. Once you start to make it a habit, you can hold on to that habit. That's one of those habits that, yes, I have the habit of gratitude. What a great habit to develop.
That's for sure.
To just always be looking. And you know, I think about gratitude in general, and I think about this all the time. One of the things I am so immensely grateful for is the opportunity to sit here on Sunday mornings and do what we do.
Absolutely.
It is nothing short of miraculous that, folks, look, if you knew Jonathan and I, all right, if you knew Jonathan and I, you'd say, now there's a miracle of God.
There you go.
Working right there in that little studio in Connecticut, because when we started this thing, neither one of us had any inkling of, A, what we were getting into.
That's right.
B, any radio experience at all.
Zip.
And yet, God gave us this opportunity.
He blessed our desire.
To sit here every Sunday for now 14 years and talk to you about the goodness and the grace and the plan of God. And that is something that I am in awe of, because it's so much bigger than we are.
Absolutely.
You know, just to have the privilege of being a little tool in that toolbox to bring God's plan to people is just an amazing thing. And you know, when you think about, sometimes in the midst of all of the preparation and all of the work, I honestly forget to stop. I forget to pause and to look around, to perceive, and then to praise. And I think, shame on you, because you're telling everybody else to do it and you forget. So let's go back to Psalm 147. And just get another, because the psalm continues, it just brings it back over and over and over again, why gratitude is such a way of living that we ought to be in pursuit of. So perceiving the comparison, we now go to Psalm 147, verses 9 through 11.
He gives to the beasts its food, and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy.
So it gives a sense of, look, He provides all that's needed for the creation, and His pleasure is in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. And again, if you're hoping in His mercy, hope is a great tool that brings gratitude.
Yes, it does.
And if our hope does not bring gratitude, we need to reanalyze what
is our hope if it's
right. Right, if it's not bringing us to that
not appreciated.
Right. So
yeah.
Now you take that perceiving, again, you stop, you pause so you can read the psalm in this instance. You look at the comparisons, the little things about the feeding of food and the bigger things about those who hope in His mercy. And then the result is praise, verse 12.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise ye God, O Zion.
So, and it's a matter of wherever you see praise in the scriptures, think of gratitude. Because that's what praise in its truest form brings us. If our praise is not producing gratitude in our heart, then it's simply lip service.
And the pause is the hardest, I think. And
yeah.
You know that word Selah in the Old Testament means pause and consider. When
right.
you see that word, there's something important. Don't miss it. Don't run over it. But for us to stop in this crazy world that we live in.
And so Thanksgiving, and that's why I love the idea that Thanksgiving is a national holiday.
Because we have to.
Right. Because, oh, I have to take a day off. Oh, do I have to? And but the question is, okay, so you have to take a day off. What do you do with the day off? And that's where true heartfelt gratitude begins to take its root, and it begins to put itself in place where it can actually change the way that you live, the way that you think, the things that you do.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live with gratitude? Coming up, is every experience in life worthy of thanks? Even the hard ones. That's tough. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how do you live with gratitude? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, the question you asked at the end of the last segment, are you supposed to be thankful for everything?
Everything.
Everything.
The evil, the injustice,
yeah,
the loss.
You look at that. Wallace D. Wattles, a quote from him, says, because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. And I think that's kind of an interesting statement that sort of begins to put it in perspective.
It does.
It gives us a sense that the world is bigger than just our perception.
Mm-hmm.
And if we believe that it all fits into a grand plan, then maybe there's something to being able to be grateful for everything, even though the short-term end result, it doesn't look very good.
Right.
So, again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
Website, christianquestions.net.
Go there, subscribe to CQ Rewind, the full edition, because you're going to be able to get a lot of the text from the program, all of the scriptures. And Jonathan, we're really skipping over a lot of stuff here.
We are.
It's all in the CQ Rewind, the full edition, not the summary version, but the full edition. You sign up for it. It's really easy to unsubscribe if you decide you don't want it. Our experience is that people get it and keep getting it because they enjoy it.
Good.
Seeker Rewind, available exclusively at christianquestions.net. Before we go to the phones, let's go back to that film by Louis Schwartzberg about gratitude. And remember, he started out with appreciating the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of like being appreciative of the fact that you can even open your eyes and look around and look at the beauty around you.
And the colors.
And now he's going to go to another level in terms of gratitude.
Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there is electric light. You turn a faucet and there is warm water and cold water and drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you. That everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you.
What a great way to end that statement. That everybody that you meet this day will be blessed by you.
What a goal.
Because you're letting these blessings flow through you. And Jonathan, we do. I mean, we sit here and we come into the studio and we turn on the lights and everything works.
a miracle.
Yeah, I have nothing to do with all that stuff. All we know is we take advantage of all of that stuff because it's there for the taking.
Yes.
Let's have this attitude that says we are grateful for these things.
Well, let's go to the phones. We have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
To you, too.
We have Zephaniah 3:14. Be glad and exalt with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. A man was once told that his beautiful garden was God's garden. And he replied, you should have seen it when God had it all by himself. Christians show gratitude by using God's gifts. Luke 3:11. He said to them in reply, whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise. If a Christian has a car, we polish it, clean it, even if it's not the one we think we want. If we are on the verge of retirement, we put in our best, even if we could coast. We put the can in the food basket, and we don't honk the horn at the red light. Gratitude is appreciation. Gratitude is praise. Gratitude is thanks in action. Philippians 4:4-5, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care.
And again, he puts things in a great scriptural perspective and little things. He's talked about a lot of little things. You know, you contribute to those around you. You don't honk the horn, you know, out of frustration at the red light. Just be cool. Just wait a moment. And it just, that's the way our lives ought to be. Now, are they always that way?
No, but we work on it.
that's the key. And the gratitude comes in, Jonathan, when we, in fact, are able to work on it.
Yes.
The gratitude comes in when maybe we are sinful creatures. What do you mean, maybe? Let's start that again. Since we are sinful creatures. And we can ask for forgiveness, be forgiven, get up, and try again.
Yes.
And that's where gratitude comes in, because we are always falling down, and yet gratitude is, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, not only are we able to stand up again, but we can stand up in the grace of God.
Amen.
That is a powerful thing. Folks, again, if you have a thought, now would be the time, 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And if you have any questions on our subject, ask your questions at christianquestions.net or go to Facebook or email us at rick@christianquestions.net.
There's so much available in terms of just being able to continue the conversation. And, Jonathan, that's one of the goals here, is to not only have our conversation on Sunday mornings and through the archives, but for folks to be able to contact us in all of these different ways to keep things going. And we do. We get several questions and several comments on a weekly basis that just show you that people are thinking about things. And it's a great experience to be able to be a part of that. So it's all there for you at ChristianQuestions.net. We're not going to have time, I think, to finish up Psalm 147.
Okay.
But remember, Psalm 147 was a great example of the three P's of making gratitude a permanent fixture in our lives. Pause.
Perceive.
And praise. So you got to stop. And like you said, sometimes that's the hardest part.
Yes.
But once we stop, then we can look around and see what there is in life. And then praise ought to come from that, because there is good in all things. And, you know, are we supposed to give thanks in every single thing? Yeah, pretty much. Let's go back to the last verse of that song, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. And again, folks, listen to the words, because it outlines verse after verse of the reasons for our gratitude.
My heart is filled with love. For every day I have honor.
sums it up, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
It puts things in perspective, and we have all of these gifts from God through Jesus, and so what is our response? Well, to love and follow him. That is a response of gratitude.
Because everything that comes from God is through love.
Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it just gives us a sense of perspective. And that's what gratitude is. Gratitude is perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. It's perspective on life and understanding what makes life go and choosing to see life through the eyes of thankfulness rather than the eyes of frustration or the eyes of depression or the eyes of grief or the eyes of sorrow or the eyes of pain. It's a choosing a different set of eyes, and that choice is available to every one of us all the time.
And it's worth it.
It absolutely is worth it. Now, again, should we give thanks for everything? 2 Corinthians 12:9-10.
And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me."
Now, think about this. I love this scripture because this is the great, mighty Apostle Paul.
Yes.
This voice for Christianity, unlike any other voice since Jesus himself.
Yes.
And here he has an issue. He prays to the Lord, and he asks for the issue to be removed so he can serve even better. And God, through Jesus, says,
"No."
He doesn't say maybe. He doesn't say I'll think about it. He doesn't say, you know, I'll send you a memo on it. He says, "No." And Jesus' response is, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." That is a profound statement. And Paul's reaction is, okay, if that's the case, then I'm going to glory in my infirmity. Because that means the power of Christ can grow within me. What's better than having infirmity? That's what he's saying. And he continues.
And let's hear his words.
Yeah.
"Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong."
So I'm happy that these things are happening to me because now I understand. See, it's a different set of eyes. That's all gratitude is. It's a different set of eyes that we can choose to have. 1 Peter 4:12-16, again, gives us another sense from another scriptural perspective of giving thanks for all parts of your life.
"Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation."
So he's saying, okay, no surprise here that you're going to be tried with great difficulties and persecution. I mean, he calls them fiery ordeals. Look, if something's
it's
fiery,
it's going to hurt.
Yeah, fiery is never good, all
no.
right? Fiery ordeals. He says, don't be surprised, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ,
keep rejoicing.
That's right. To the degree that you share the suffering. So, if you're suffering because you're being dumb,
well, that doesn't count.
Right. You're not supposed to rejoice in that.
No.
But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep rejoicing. And he continues, he sort of lays out what that means in verses 14 through 16. This is the Apostle Peter speaking here.
"If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffered as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name."
So part of our living a life of gratitude is to check what it is we are doing and seeing if it is for the purpose that we should have gratitude or for just some selfish purpose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if we are living in a way, if we are going to work and cheating our employer by, you know, showing up late and leaving early and, you know, taking,
and not putting our all into it.
Right, and taking a longer break than we're supposed to and you know, all of those things and we get in trouble for that, there's no great rejoicing in that tribulation.
No.
Because you're not being responsible.
Or God-honoring.
Right, and that's really the key. So if you are being God-honoring, then whatever your trial and difficulty, that is a cause for rejoicing. So should we be thankful for everything in life?
Yes.
As long as we are focused on being God-honoring in our lives. So let's get these final keys to gratitude, Jonathan. Our time's about up. True gratitude is a heartfelt expression that is specific in detailing the object of one's gratitude to the giver of that object or to others so you can stimulate their gratitude. All right? So that's what gratitude really is. What else?
Built on faith.
Gratitude is built on the basis of faith. It is also appropriately expressed creatively and often to others and to oneself. So it's not just to God, but we should be spreading our gratitude to everybody around us.
Right. And also, Rick, the three P's, we can't forget.
And even though I don't like the vegetables, these three P's are really good.
Pause, perceive, praise.
That's the secret for finding gratitude and making it work in your daily life. Folks, look, we have just experienced the national holiday of Thanksgiving. It was put in place so that we as a nation would stop, would pause, perceive the greatness of God, and praise Him. That was the reason for the holiday. My question to you is really simple. How are we taking that concept of pausing, perceiving, and praising God, not only on that day, but throughout our daily lives? Live a life of gratitude and your life will change, and you will change for the better the lives of those around you. It's your choice. Gratitude is just using the set of eyes that says, I will praise God first. Folks, join the conversation. It continues on live right now at ChristianQuestions.net. Leave your comments on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you there. For Jonathan and Rick, it's all about gratitude. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, live your life with gratitude. It's worth it. Think about it.